taxi, corn. They start back down to continue. Sukhdev Goswami informed Maharaj Parikshit that the austerities and penances performed by the queen at Dwarka has no comparison for self-realization. The objective of self-realization is one, Krishna. As such, the dealings of the queens with the Krishna, although appears just like ordinary dealings between husband and wife, the principal point to be observed is their attachment for Krishna. The whole process of austerities and penances are meant for detaching one's attachment to the material world and enhancing the attachment for Krishna or the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna is the shelter of all persons advancing in self-realization. As an ideal householder, he was living with wife and performing the Vedic rituals just to show less intelligent persons that the Supreme Lord is never impersonal. Exactly like the ordinary conditioned soul, Krishna was living with wife and children and all opulences just to set practical examples to the conditioned soul that he has to enter into the family circle of Krishna, where he is the center, just like the Jadu descendants or the members of the Jadu family. They are living in the family of Krishna. Krishna is the center of the whole activity. The platform of renouncement is not so important as it is important to enhance one's attachment to Krishna. Our Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for this purpose. We are preaching this principle that it doesn't matter whether a man is a sannyasi or a householder, grihastha, one has to increase his attachment for Krishna, and the life is successful. Following the footsteps of Lord Sri Krishna, anyone can live within the members of family, society, or nation, but not to indulge in sense gratification, but to realize Krishna by advancing attachment for him. There are four principles of elevation from conditional life to the life of liberation, which are technically known as dharma, artha, kama, moksha, or religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. So each and one lives within the family life, following the footsteps of Lord Krishna, he can achieve all these four principles of success, simultaneously making Krishna as the center of all activity. It is already known to us that Krishna had 16,108 wives. Of all the wives who are all exalted, liberated souls, Queen Rukmini was the principal wife. After Rukmini, there were other seven wives, and taking them all together with Rukmini, it is said that eight grand queens were principal, and the names of the sons of all these principal queens are also mentioned previously. Besides the principal eight queens, Lord Krishna had 10 sons from each and every other queen. Altogether, Krishna had 16,108 increased by 10 times children. One should not be astonished to hear that Krishna had so many sons. One should always remember that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead with unlimited potential. All living entities have claimed to be his sons. So if there are 16 million sons attached to him personally, there is no cause of astonishment. Among his great powerful sons, 18 sons were Maharathi. The Maharathi could fight alone with many thousands of soldiers, charioteers, cavalry, and elephants. The reputation of these 18 sons are very well known, and they are described in almost all Vedic literature. The 18 Maharathi sons and this said herein consecutively. Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Deepthiman, Vanu, Shamba, Madhu, Brihat Manu, Chitra Bhanu, Brika, Aruna, Puskara, Vedabahu, Sutadev, Sunanan, Chitravahu, Vyu, Kavi, and Nagroda. Out of these 18, Bharate, sons of Krishna, Pradyumna is considered to be the foremost. Pradyumna happened to be the eldest son of Queen Rukmini. Pradyumna acquired all the qualities of his great father, Lord Krishna. Pradyumna married the daughter of his maternal uncle, Rukmini. Aniruddha, the son of Pradyumna, was born of the daughter of Rukmini. Aniruddha was so powerful that he could fight with 10,000 of elephants. Aniruddha also married the granddaughter of Rukmini, brother of Rukmini. Because the family of Rukmini was different, therefore the marriage relationship between the cousin, brother and sister was not very uncommon. Aniruddha's son was Vajra. When there was destruction of the whole dynasty of Jadus by the curse of the Brahmin, this Vajra only survived. Vajra had one son whose name was Pratibha. Pratibha's son's name was Subhav. Subhav's son's name Shantasen. And the son of Shantasen was Satasen. He stated by Sukhdev Goswami that all the names mentioned in the Jodhu dynasty had many, many children. Just like Krishna had a good many sons and grandsons and great-grandsons. Similarly, each one of the kings named here had also similar family extensions. All of them had not only many children, but all of them were extraordinarily rich and opulent. None of them were less powerful nor of little division of life. Above all the members of the Jodhu dynasty were staunch devotees of the Brahminical culture. It is the duty of the Kshatriya kings to maintain the Brahminical culture and to protect the qualified Brahmins. And all these kings discharge their duties very rightly. The Jodhu dynasty is so extensive and numerous that it is very difficult to describe all of them. Even though one has got a durational life for many thousands of years, Srila Sukhdev Goswami informed Maharaj Parikshit that he heard from reliable sources that simply to teach the family members or children of the Jodhu dynasty, there were guardian tutors or acharyas to the extent of 38,800,000 of teachers. One can simply imagine the effort educating their children. So many teachers were required. How many extensive was the number of the family members? So far their military strength, it is said that only King Ugrasen had 10 quadrillion soldiers as personal bodyguards. Before the advent of Lord Krishna within this universe, there were many battles between the demons and the demigods, and as a result of which, many demigods died in the fight, and all of them were given the chance of taking birth in high royal families within this earth. All these demons, being situated on exalted posts of royalty, became very much buffed, and their only business was to harass the subjects. Lord Krishna appeared on this planet just by the end of Dwapara Yuga in order to annihilate all these demonic kings As it is said in the Bhagavad Gita, Puritrana Sadhana Vinashaya Se Duskritam. So as it is said in the beginning, that some of the demigods were asked to appear on this earth to assist the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. And Krishna appeared, he did so associated with his eternal servitors, but the demigods were requested to come down to assist him. The, all of them took their birth in the Yadu dynasty. In the Yadu dynasty, there were 101 clans in different parts of the country. All the members of these different clans of Yadu dynasty respected Lord Krishna, befitting his divine position, and all of them were devotees of Lord Krishna, heart and soul. On account of this, all the members of the Yadu dynasty were very much opulent, happy, prosperous, and without any anxiety. On account of their implicit faith and devotion to Lord Krishna, they were never defeated by any other kings. Their love of Krishna was so intense that in their regular activities, namely in their acts of sitting, sleeping, traveling, talking, sporting, cleansing, bathing, they are simply absorbed in thought of Krishna without any attention to the bodily necessity. That is the symptom of pure devotee of Lord Krishna. In this connection, it may be remembered that when a man is fully absorbed in some particular thought, sometimes he forgets his other bodily activities. The members of Yadu dynasty, similarly, were acting automatically about their bodily necessities, but actual attention was always in Krishna. Their bodily activities were being performed mechanically, but the mind was always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That's why Srila Sukadeva Goswami has concluded the 90th chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, pointing out five particular excellencies of Lord Krishna. The first excellency is that before Lord Krishna's appearance in the Yadu family, the river Ganges was known as the purest of all things. Even impure things could be purified simply by touching the water of Ganges. The super excellent power of the water of Ganges was due to her being emanated from the toe of Lord Vishnu. But Lord Krishna, the Supreme Vishnu, when he appeared in the family of the Yadu dynasty, he traveled personally in the kingdom of the Yadu dynasty, and thus, by his intimate association with the Yadu dynasty, the whole family not only became very famous, but also more effective in purifying others than the water of the Ganges. The next super excellency of Lord Krishna's appearance was that although apparently he gave protection to the devotees and annihilated the demons, but both of them achieved the same result. Lord Krishna is the bestower of five kinds of liberation, of which Sajujya Mukti, or liberation of being one with the Supreme, was given to the demons like Kamsas. And the gopis were given the chance of associating with him personally. The gopis kept their individuality to enjoy the company of Lord Krishna. But Kamsa was accepted in his impersonal Brahma Jyoti. In other words, both the demons and the gopis were spiritually liberated, although the demons were enemies and gopis were friends, or the demons were killed and the gopis were protected. The third super excellence of Lord Krishna's appearance was that the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by demigods like Lord Brahma, Indra, Chandra, she remained always engaged in the service of the Lord. Even though the Lord gave a more preference to the gopis, Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, tried his best to be on the equal level with gopis, but she was not successful. Still, she remained faithful to Krishna, although she does not remain at one place, even worshipped by demigods like Lord Brahma. The fourth super excellence of Lord Krishna's appearance was about the glories of his name. It is stated in the Vedic literature that by chanting 1,000 times of different names of Lord Vishnu, one may be bestowed the benefits of chanting 3 times the holy name of Lord Rama. But by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, one is equally benefited as by chanting 3 names of Lord Rama. In other words, all the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, namely Vishnu, Rama, the holy name of Krishna, is very, very powerful. Specifically, stress is given, therefore, on chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the Vedic literature, Lord Chaitanya introduced this chanting of the holy name of Krishna in this age, making liberation very, very easily obtainable than in other ages. In other words, Lord Krishna is super excellent than his other incarnations, although all of them are equally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The fifth super excellence of Lord Krishna's appearance is that he established the super excellence of all religious principles by his one statement in the Bhagavad Gita, that by simply surrendering unto him, one can discharge all the principles of religious rites. In the Vedic literature, there are 20 kinds of religious principles, and each of them are described in different shastras. But Lord Krishna is so kind to the fallen conditioned souls of this age that he asked everyone to give up all kinds of religious rites and simply to surrender unto him. It is said that this age of Kali is devoid of 3/4 of religious principles, and hardly there is only 1/4 of religious principles existing in this age. But by the mercy of Lord Krishna, this vacancy of the Kali Yuga was fulfilled not only to the fullest extent, but it was made so easy that simply by rendering transcendental loving service unto Lord Krishna by chanting his holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, one can achieve the highest result of religiosity, namely being transferred to the highest planet within the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. One can thus immediately estimate the highest benefit of Lord Krishna's appearance on this earth. And therefore, to give relief to the people of the world by his appearance was not at all extraordinary. Next paragraph. Sri Sukadeva Goswami, thus concluding the supra-exalted position of Lord Krishna, is glorifying him in the following way. In quotation, Krishna, all glories unto you. You are present in everyone's heart as Paramatma. Therefore, you are known as Jananivas, one who lives in everyone's heart, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishara Sarvabhutana Riddhesha Arjunatushchati. The Supreme Lord, in his Paramatma feature, lives within everyone's heart. But that does not mean Krishna has no separate existence as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahabharata philosopher, they accept the all-pervading feature of Parabrahma, but when Parabrahma or the Supreme Lord appears, they think that he appears under the control of material nature. Because Lord Krishna appears as the son of Devaki, the Mahabharata philosopher accept Krishna as if one ordinary living entity takes birth within this material world. Therefore, Supreme Goswami warns them that a devotee Janmabad, which means that he is famous only as the son of a devotee. But actually, he is the super soul, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all pervading. The devotees, however, takes this word, devotee Janmabad, in a different way. The devotee is saying that actually Krishna was son of Mother Yashoda. Although Krishna first of all appeared as the son of Devaki, he himself immediately transferred to the lap of Mother Yashoda. And his childhood pastime was so blissfully enjoyed by Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. This fact is also admitted by Vasudev himself when he met Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda at Kurukshetra. He admitted that Krishna and Balaram are actually the sons of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Vasudev and Devaki was only, so to say, official father and mother. Actual father and mother was Nanda and Yashoda. That was Sukhdev Goswami addressed Lord Krishna as Devaki Janmavad. Sukhdev Goswami, after this, glorifies the Lord as sat by the assembly house of the Yadu dynasty and the killer of different kinds of demons. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, could kill all the demons by employing his different material energies, but he wanted to kill them personally. In order to give them salvation, there was no need of Krishna's coming to this material world for killing the demon. Simply by his willing, many hundreds of thousands of demons could be killed without any personal endeavor. But actually, he descended for his devotees to play as a child with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, give pleasure to the inhabitants of Dwarka, because all of them are pure devotees of the Lord. By killing the demons and by giving protection to the devotees, Lord Krishna has established real religious principles, which is simply love of God. By following this factual religious principles, love of God, even the living entities known as Sthirachara were also delivered of all material contamination and transferred to the spiritual kingdom. Sthira means the trees and plants who cannot move. And chara means the moving animals, specifically the cows. So, while Krishna was present, he delivered all the trees, plants and animals, monkeys, who happened to see him and serve him, both in Vrindavan and Dwarka. Now, Krishna is specifically glorified on account of his giving pleasure to the gopis and the queens at Dwarka. Sukhdev Goswami glorifies Lord Krishna for his enchanting smiling, by which he enchanted not only the gopis at Vrindavan, but also the queens at Dwarka. The exact word used in this connection is Kamavardhan. Krishna in Vrindavan has boyfriend of so many gopis and husband of so many queens at Dwarka increase their lusty desire to enjoy with Krishna. The fact is that for God realization or self realization, one has to undergo severe austerities, penances for many thousands of years. Then it may be possible to realize God. But the gopis and the queens at Dwarka, simply by enhancing their lusty desire to enjoy Krishna as boyfriend or a husband, got the highest type of salvation. This behavior of Lord Krishna with the gopis and the queens is unique in the history of self-realization. Apparently, people understand that for self-realization, one has to go to the forest, to the mountain, and undergo a severe type of austerities and penances. And the gopis and the Queens simply being attached to Krishna by conjugal love and enjoying his company in so-called sensuous life, full in luxury and opulence, got the highest salvation, impossible to be achieved by great sages and saintly persons. Similarly, the demons who treated Krishna as enemy, as represented by Kamsa, Dantavakra, Shishupal, etc., they also got the highest benefit of being transferred to the spiritual world. Next paragraph. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva offered his respectful obeisances to the Supreme Truth, Vasudeva, Krishna. After that, he taught his son Sukadeva Goswami to preach Srimad Bhagavatam, and in this connection, Sukadeva Goswami glorifies the Lord as Jayati, following the footsteps of Srila Vyasadeva and Sukadeva Goswami. But all the acharyas in the Shakti succession, the whole population of the world should glorify Lord Krishna, and for the best interest, they should take to this Krishna consciousness movement, the process being so easy and helpful by chanting the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya has therefore recommended that one should be callous to the material ups and downs. The material life is a non-permanent, temporary. Similarly, the ups and downs of life may come and go. When they come, one should tolerate them, like the trees, and becoming humble and meek, like the straws in the street, but certainly must engage oneself in Krishna consciousness by chanting the simple method, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the super soul of all living entities, out of his causeless mercy, comes down and manifests his different pastimes in different forms of incarnation, and all of them are full of transcendental activities. The pastimes of Lord Krishna, by himself or by his different incarnation, are chances for the conditioned soul for liberation simply by hearing those activities. And the most fascinating and pleasing activities of Lord Krishna are still more attractive because Lord Krishna personally is so all attractive. Following the holy footsteps of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, we have tried to present this book, Krishna, for being read and heard by the conditioned souls of this place, and simply by hearing the pastimes of Lord Krishna, one is sure and certain to get salvation and be transferred back to home, back to Godhead. It is recommended by Sukadeva Goswami, as we hear the transcendental pastimes and activities of the Lord, we gradually cut off the knots of material contamination. Anyone, therefore, never mind whatever he is, if one has the association of Lord Krishna in the transcendental kingdom of God for eternity in blissful existence, one must hear about the pastimes of Lord Krishna and chant the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. To desire for salvation by becoming one with the Supreme is not transcendental.